Welcome back, and thank you for joining me for another expert interview. I'm Bill Powers, and this is MiningStockEducation.com. The focus of today's discussion centers around investing in junior mining exploration companies, with a particular attention and focus given to investing in discovery plays. I have with me on the line Steve Todoruk with Sprott Global. He has decades of experience as an exploration geologist, as president of two exploration companies, and as a stockbroker to clients seeking to invest in mineral explorers. Steve, thanks for coming on the program to discuss with me a topic you know a lot about.
Thanks, Bill.
Could you begin by giving listeners a snapshot overview of who you are and your experience in this industry?
Okay, well, I live in California now. I came to work for Rick Rule at Sprott Global about 14 years ago. I was born in British Columbia and went to University of British Columbia in Vancouver, studying geology for 5 years. And after graduating, I worked for a number of mining companies, getting experience type of thing. And that sort of led to getting involved in running a couple of junior mining companies, learning that end of the game type of thing. And I did that for about 12 years up until Rick asked me if I'd consider crossing the street to move to the financial side of the industry as a stockbroker, helping our clients pick junior mining exploration stocks, hoping that all that experience sort of keeps us more in the good companies to invest in rather than the bad ones that can go wrong.
And with your experience, how do you assess the junior mining exploration industry right now? And what are some key things that investors should know?
Right now, I'd say for the last 15, 16 months, it's a heck of a lot better than the previous 3 to 4 years that we went through. That was one of the ugliest bear markets and most prolonged bear markets that I've experienced in my 40 years in the industry. Today it's a lot better. I sort of tell my clients right now that we've got a reasonably good, gold, silver price. Copper could be a little better, but in general, the precious metals are, reasonably good prices today. For the mining companies after the bear market, the big mining companies all went through a lot of cost cutting to get their financial house in order. And just after a number of years of doing that, gold prices, moved up to the current levels, and we're seeing them all, for the most part, make pretty good profits. And that has begun to trickle down to the junior companies, and investors have more confidence investing in the higher risk junior companies. The general thinking, the role of most junior mining exploration companies to go out and explore, trying to find new deposits of whether it's gold, silver, copper, uranium. And then the big companies, if they're financially able and strong enough, they then come in and take over the juniors to acquire those new deposits, then build them into new mines for the big company shareholders. So I think we're in a much better environment today than what we were.
And what is your ideal profile in today's environment of a junior explorer that's primed for a takeover by a major?
Well, I kind of believe that we're lucky to get, 2 to maybe 5 good-looking discoveries in a year, and we certainly weren't getting that or seeing that during the 4 years of the horrific bear market, and that's part of what's going on today is there's not a lot of new discoveries in the pipeline for the majors to acquire, but we are starting to see some new discoveries. I try to be pretty harsh as to, what meets my criteria that I'm going to recommend my clients get into. Because if we acquire a lot of shares in a company, we've got a serious problem. How are we going to get out? How are we going to sell those shares? I want to have a pretty good gut feeling that if I get my clients into a new a junior company, that we're going to have a reasonably good chance of success of seeing a major company come in and take over our junior, and that's the exit strategy.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on jurisdiction or size of the resource in terms of the profile of the ideal junior for a takeover?
Well, in different thresholds. I think if a junior company makes a brand new gold discovery, for example, I want to have a pretty good feeling that junior is going to find at least 1 million ounces of good grade gold. And when I say good grade, I kind of sort of say or like to think that If you've got a 1 million ounce gold deposit, could that mine make a profit at today's gold price? And even better, if gold went a little lower, could it still make a profit? If I can convince my chef, yes, we've got a shot, I'll take a look at that. But a 1 million-ounce gold deposit is not big enough for any of even the mid-tier size gold mining company to want to acquire, let alone the big boys like Barrick and Newmont and Goldcorp. So ideally, I can get some kind of a sense that we've got a shot at a multi-million-ounce gold deposit. Doesn't happen very often. That's why I say, you know, 2 to 5 good discoveries. I don't call 1 million-ounce gold discoveries, you know, really good, just because you've got a lot fewer companies that might be the potential suitors to come in and take you over. But at least if a junior starts out with nothing and they end up with 1 million ounces of good grade gold, that company may, you know, transform itself into a mining company and build the mine and operate it itself. That's, you know, the share price should be significantly higher than what it was before they made the discovery.
Steve, your expertise and focus, as we've had already spoken about, is and you're known for, is in discovery plays in particular. But before we discuss discovery plays, could you share with listeners your thoughts and approach to explorers that are not JV'd and they own the properties 100% outright, and also prospect generators? What are your thoughts about investing in these type of companies?
I would, you know, most investors in this sector don't have my background. They're not geologists with quite a bit of experience type of thing. So it makes sense for them to deviate or use different strategies, you know, of how to invest in this and not get burned type of thing. One of the types of companies that has got a fairly good following would be a prospect generator type of company. Like Altius Minerals, used to be Virginia Mines. They're now taken over by Cisco, and some other companies. They spend other people's money. That management team has had a good track record making successful discoveries in the past. And so they're going to go out and with their team of geologists and try and acquire properties that they think are prospective for hosting big deposits. They'll come in and do the early stage exploration, which is usually the more inexpensive, like starting with stream sediment sampling, soil sampling, prospecting, and then geological mapping. And then they'll likely do some geophysical surveys. And hopefully with that work, they've identified some promising looking anomalies or targets. Then they'll take that data and try and get other mining companies, preferably big mining companies, to come in and joint venture the projects and do the heavy lifting or the expensive work, which is the drilling. To that type of company and to all companies, one of the most important factors in running a company, if you're going to have success at the end of the day, you want to have the fewest number of shares outstanding. And we all agree that drilling is the most expensive. So if you're a company that's going to go drilling, the only way you raise money in this business is by issuing shares. When the odds of success are horribly against you, that usually means you're going to raise money, spend it drilling, you find nothing, you go back to the trough, you raise more money issuing more shares, spend it finding nothing. And at the end of the day, you know, more times than not, you have nothing to show for it. And worst case scenario is you've got to roll the shares back to start all over again. So the prospect generator recognizes that. They're going to go out and try and acquire a number of properties, joint venture them out, have multiple properties that are getting drilled, increasing their chances of making a discovery. And the wise thing for an investor, you know, with employing that strategy, you would buy a basket of the prospect generator companies so that you might have, you know, shares in 6 or 7 companies, maybe 3 properties are being drilled in each. So you've got 20 properties being drilled altogether. You increase the chances that there's going to be at least one significant discovery made in there. And that's a sensible approach for a lot of investors out there. Myself, with my experience in the sector, I prefer to, you know, go down a different route. I think we, again, touching on what the prospect generator is trying to do, make a discovery. I think we all recognize that the most exciting thing in the mining industry is if a little company makes a brand new discovery and they're able to successfully drill and grow it into a big valuable deposit and then be taken over by a major mining company. If you're an investor, if you can get in real early and then sit back and ride it all the way, if it culminates in that takeover at the end of the day, you should, you know, make quite a bit of good money on that stock plate type of thing. And then again, you get to sell into the liquidity of the takeover. So that's my approach. I wait for the discovery drill hole. The best scenario would be if you had a crystal ball that worked and you could rub it and you could predict, you know, time and time again, which junior is going to make the next discovery somewhere down the road, and you buy shares in there and you sit and wait. Well, you know, you can't do that with any regularity. So I wait for the discovery announcement. And then if I like it, that's when I get in, type of thing.
And what do you look for in particular in that initial hole and that discovery announcement?
Well, again, in order to get the happy ending at the end of the day with a big mining company coming in to take you over, they're basically looking for really big deposits or giant deposits. Giant deposits consist of drill holes that are big drill holes or giant drill holes, which equates to really wide intervals. Big deposits have lots of really big drill holes or lots of really wide drill hole intervals in them. The big deposits don't consist of small, narrow drill holes. You know, that's what makes a small deposit, type of thing. So ideally, I want to see a really wide interval of good grade mineralization, whether it's gold or copper and gold or silver or uranium, or zinc or nickel. You want to see a really big drill hole, like good grades. Again, that if that was a mine today, could that mine make a profit? And even better, if metal prices go lower, could you still make a profit? So if I see that drill hole, that's when I like to get in, type of thing.
And then those investors that, like you, that invest after that initial discovery drill hole is released, what should be the time frame or the perspective that investors have?
Well, if a company is going to be able to drill a big deposit, on average, it's going to take 2 to 3 years. You know, it takes, if you're drilling, if you've got a really wide drill hole, I like to see, ideally, say, 1,000 meters of 1% copper equivalent or, you know, 1.5 grams per ton or higher grade, type of thing. And if you're drilling a hole that's 1,000 meters long, that's going to take you, you know, 1 to 3 weeks for each drill hole. So if you've got to drill 100 drill holes, it's going to take you time. And on average, it's, you know, 2 to 3 years, type of thing. So you've got to be patient. You know, when a company's actively drilling like that, you're probably going to get news releases coming out every 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, you just got to evaluate. If you keep getting good results, it's going in the right direction. You got to be patient. All drill holes aren't going to hit. You probably only need to, you know, have 60 to 70% of the holes that you drill that are good. That means there's going to be maybe 30% that are, you know, not so good or terrible or bad. In the middle of a good deposit, you can drill a blank zone. You move the drill over, you get back into the good mineralization. So you've got to be able to stay on top of that. And that's not easy for a lot of people to do, a lot of investors.
So if you get one bad drill hole, you don't necessarily just jump ship immediately. You wait to see what the fouling drill holes result in after the one poor drill hole?
That's the plan of attack. But again, you can, you know, just like some deposits have that blank and you can hit, you know, drill dusters in there, move over and you're back into it. But you can also start out from the discovery point where that first good drill hole is the one I want to see. The company keeps moving the drill over and the releases are good. And then 6 months, a year, year and a half down the road, even though it's going in the right direction, the company moves the drill over, there's nothing. It's a duster. They move it over again. It's another duster. That could mean that was the edge of the deposit and the story's over. You may have just drilled a small deposit. Even though you had big drill holes, it didn't grow into a big enough deposit. And there's some examples that's happened to me in a couple of companies. And in which case, you know, yeah, I should have sold a month earlier. Well, I didn't know, you know, that there was a fault or it just wasn't going to grow any bigger. You only know, you know, after the fact, type of thing. And that just goes with it. That's fortunately, more times than not, it tends to work out okay. But along the way, you're definitely going to have, you know, call them disasters.
For some of the losses you've experienced, what percentage-wise would your loss on the losers be before I ask you about your percentage on the winners?
I want to say 60 to 80% of the time it works out pretty good. You know, I'm thinking of a couple of the losses employing this strategy, and I can think of two that come to mind, you know, instantly. It's not a long list.
And of the two that were losers, what percentage of your capital invested would you say you lost on that particular play?
I can't really remember. It didn't go to zero. You know, both of the companies are still trading today, In one of the cases, I think we started getting in around 60 or 70 cents. The stock went as high as $4 or $4.25, and today it's, I think, 15 cents. But when I got out, you know, this is a number of years ago when we you know, bailed at what we could get out at, it was less than 60 cents. Maybe we got out around 30 cents. So maybe you lost 50%, you know, but we rode it from, you know, 60, 70 cents up to four, didn't sell anything. And then bang, when they announced that it's over, when, you know, they announced that the deposit doesn't get any bigger, it's just like, it's over right now. The stock just crashes. You don't have time to get out.
One of your recent winners was Mariana, and I know that because we spoke pre-interview. Could you share with listeners how you tracked that one, and that one became a winner for you?
Sure. It was employing the same strategy. I think it was about 3 years ago where Mariana and their joint venture partner, Lydia, over in Turkey, one day announced two drill holes that were absolutely fabulous. You know, good wide intervals of very high grade, and you know, right there, it instantly suggested, hey, if these guys can keep getting those kind of widths and those grades, we got a shot easily at a plus 1 million ounce deposit, i.e. a multi-million ounce deposit. And as good as those holes were, they went on to drill even better, some absolutely fabulous, you know, drill holes that were wider and even higher grade type of thing. And at the end of the day, I think there was over 4 million ounces of good high grade. And you know, all right from the word go, the grades they were getting, again, 3 years ago, remember the bear market we were in, when I started getting in, it got even uglier. And the grades they kept drilling, you know, it could have, I think the low point in gold was $1,050 an ounce a year and a half ago. If that would have been a mine at that gold price, it still would have made a profit. And even in, I think you asked me earlier about, I can't remember if it was political risk or what countries, you know, would I go into or not. You know, those holes were drilled in Turkey. I wish it was somewhere else, but it is where it is, and it was in Turkey. And I said, okay, I'm all right with Turkey, not in love with it, but I believe that if they and their partner, and it was very important in that story that their joint venture partner, Lydia, was a big business conglomerate in Turkey. So that's very important in a country like that, i.e. if they find a deposit big enough, you know, what are the chances the government's going to come in and interfere, whether they steal the project or they don't allow the permitting process to go forward. I felt that with their partner, they'll be able to get the permits and build the mine, and it'll create jobs and tax revenue for the government. And, you know, it's all played out quite nicely type of thing. It was a fabulous discovery.
And what was your entry position on that one?
I think we started getting in equivalent of about 30 cents. Initially, they only traded in London in pence, and I think it was about 3 pence. And then they did a 10-for-1 rollback last summer when they got a listing on Canada. So it equated to about 30 cents when we got in, and they just stopped trading here with the Sandstorm merger. I think it was at about $1.70 or $1.75. So very nice win.
And what was your biggest winner so far on a discovery play?
I'd say Aurelian Mariana was very nice, but back in, I think it was 2006, a junior I'd never heard of before called Aurelian Resources out of Toronto announced a new gold discovery in Ecuador, and a nice wide interval. I think it was something like 242 meters of 4.5 grams gold with a really nice high grade interval. It might have been around 60 meters of 30 grams, you know, really rich. So that's a big drill hole. Like that was, you know, that was at the time I told my clients that was the best drill hole I've seen a company drill in something like 15 years, meaning we might not see another one look that good for another 15 years. And the stock reacted in classic discovery fashion for a hole that good. It went from 50 cents to $3 a share in, I think, 3 days. And that's when I started getting my clients in at $3. And they went on to drill even better holes in that first one. And the stock ultimately, I think within 2 years, hit a high of $42. And then Kinross Gold came in and took them over at $34.
Well known is the life cycle of a mining share, and the junior explorer that's successful, some of them which you just mentioned, they're taken out at that first peak in that share cycle. Would there ever be a reason if that company was not bought out, although they usually are bought out, but let's say they're not bought out, would there ever be a reason why an investor would want to hold on to that share through the feasibility and more boring, expensive, and even somewhat risky stage where the share price declines?
Well, unfortunately, there's no steadfast rule as to timing of when a takeover will happen. You can, you know, like I said, with Aurelian and with like Mariana, those are two examples. And there's several others where from the time of the discovery hole, it takes 2 to 3 years to drill it out and grow it into a big enough deposit. That's when you see a lot of takeovers right then. But if you don't get the takeover, the management of the company has a hard choice to make, basically saying, okay, it doesn't look like anybody wants us or they're going to come and take us over anytime soon. So do we just, you know, sell the property or get rid of it and stop working on it? Or do we move forward and keep advancing the project? Obviously, there's some, especially if it's a big deposit, you know, if it's a multi-million ounce deposit, if the company isn't taken over, the message from the big mining companies is, there's some unanswered questions that we want answered. And so the management will start to change the team, bring in new additions, people that have different experience in building mines or advancing projects. And they'll start to go down that path along the way, you know, trying to answer those questions, doing different studies. And it might even be, you might have to actually build the actual mine, you know, as we saw with Osisko Mining here a couple of years ago. And Detour Gold, the majors might want to see the junior build that mine and show that it can produce what they've told everybody it will. And if they can do it, they've answered, you know, most of the questions or all of them. Major might come in and take them over at that point. But you could see a major company come in and take over the junior at any point along that path. And it may well go down and hit a trough, and it might be at the bottom of that trough. You see the takeover or on the slope down or on the slope back up to putting the mine into production. So, you know, if an investor really believes in the project, you've got the stomach for it, hopefully on that way down, it doesn't go anywhere near the low that the stock was prior to the discovery. So that at least if it happens somewhere longer, you can still walk away saying, I made money on that investment. Left some on the table, but at least I made some money.
Steve, could you share with listeners before we conclude your thoughts on investing in uranium explorers at this point in time and any past experience or insights you're able to share?
Well, I guess my investing in uranium experience started when I first started working for Rick Rule. Our company got into Paladin Energy. That would have been around 2003 when I started here, 2003, 2004. Uranium was still down. And we were buying shares in Paladin Energy at about 6 cents Australian. And then the uranium bull market set in. It eventually hit a high of $10. I don't think anybody rode it all the way from 6 cents to $10, but a lot of people made good money along that way. I then got into, you know, employing my model of investing in new discoveries, Hathor Exploration, drilled a first good drill hole. I want to say it was 5 meters of 11% uranium. And I said, that's good enough for me. I'll bite. You know, something extra special is going on in the property. So I started getting my clients into it. We helped finance Hathor a couple of times, and they went on to drill and grow a good sized deposit. And at the end of the day, Cameco and Rio Tinto duked it out in a bidding war. Rio Tinto ended up getting them at about $4.50. So that was my first real good experience of investing in a uranium discovery. And then after that, we got into the Fission Uranium Alpha Minerals discovery. I initially got in on the Alpha Minerals side, helping finance them, and that was a really good win. And then, watching the current NextGen Energy discovery here, we've seen even, you know, watching Fission and NextGen, that even in a horrific bear market, you can make money as an investor in a good high-grade discovery. My own opinion on the uranium space right now, you know, I agree with a number of people out there that I see no signs of uranium prices going up anytime soon because of the catastrophe in Japan, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, as well as we've now got cheap oil, cheap coal, cheap natural gas, as well as alternative energy sources. I think a lot of countries are gun shy, especially Western countries are gun shy about nuclear energy. I don't see uranium prices going up anytime soon. So therefore, I'm very reluctant to invest in uranium stocks. One way I'm playing it is if we can get full warrants for a long period of time, i.e. 5 years, you know, that gives us a chance for 5 years that, you know, hopefully uranium prices go up within that, that time frame. But in the next 1 to 3 years, I don't think investing in uranium stocks is the place to be. You know, having said that, if there's another brand new high-grade uranium discovery, especially in Canada in the Athabasca Basin, I'm in. But it's got to be a really good-looking discovery.
For the investors listening, I'm talking to Steve Todorok. He is a broker, but he's not only a broker, he's also a professional geologist and for a decade ran a mineral exploration company. So what you have in Steve, for those looking for a good broker to help them steer their investments in the natural resource space, is a very unique combination of a geologist, a past CEO, and a current broker. Whether you're an accredited investor or someone that's not accredited, but you still desire to invest in the natural resource space, I would encourage you to get in contact with Steve. And Steve, how would they get in contact with you if they're looking to connect with you for investment purposes?
You can call me at 1-800-477-7853 or email me at stodorick@sprottglobal.com.
Steve, I really appreciate you joining me today. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.